know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momuzi, alongside me today, my brother, Mr. CT, Christopher Thomas, in the house. We're going to be doing a little preview of the Celtics Magic game, and I know CT will be keeping a close eye on those Magic boys, so we'll get to that later in the show. But before we get to that, there were four games today, starting with the Cleveland Cavaliers taking a 3-0 series lead in a trouncing of the Miami Heat, 124-87 in Miami. Now, holding a 40-point L on your home ground? Come on. Heat culture, where you at? And the craziest part about it is the Cleveland Cavaliers were without their starting point guard. Darius Garland was out for the game with a toe injury. They started Sam Merrill, who didn't make it to the score sheet, but the Cavs did have six players finish in double figures. Max Strus had 18, Mobley had 19, Jarrett Allen, you know, he was doing work, 22-10. Donovan Mitchell, a quiet night by his standards, but they didn't need him to pop off. He had 13 points. DeAndre Hunter, 21 off the bench. Ty Jerome, 13 off the bench. Even Isaac Okoro got involved in the scoring. The Miami Heat now, you know, Darius Garland lit that fire under Tyler Herro after the last game, saying our game plan was to target their bad defenders. We were going at Tyler Herro. Tyler Herro had some words for him. Obviously, Garland didn't play, but you would think that someone disrespecting your best player in Tyler Herro, or second best player, because I think Bam Adebayo is better than him, but someone disrespecting your team in that way, in the media, so openly, you would show a little more fight than the Heat did. Do you think that this series is done, or do you think they can claw back some pride in game number four?
Yeah, this is done. They can play without starters, play significant minutes to the bench, and still beat them like they stole something significant. You know what I'm saying? So that just shows, I think we talked about this last time, Cleveland's for real. They got a sense of it's important now for them to advance, not play with their food and let the Heat take one. It's like, nah, we need that rest.
Let me ask you this. If you're a number one seed, would you rather have a kind of a little bit of a tougher matchup in the first round to keep you sharp and get you there, or are you trying to just steamroll your way through?
No, because it's the Boston Celtics.
Conference finals. I mean, they got to see the Knicks or the Pistons first.
Yep. But I just feel you get out of the first round, don't play with your food, keep it moving because the competition's supposed to get tougher. Gear up for that, but you're fresher to compete at a higher level at that point versus trying to make sure you learn your lessons in the first round. That's playing with your food.
Absolutely. Well, a team that definitely doesn't play with their food is the OKC Thunder, as they swept the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're the first team to get sent out of the playoffs. It was a close finish, 117-115, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hit a huge clutch shot down there in the fourth quarter on his way to a 38-point performance. They got 23 from Jalen Williams, 11 from Chet, 11 from Hartenstein, and 11 from Isaiah Joe off the bench, and they did enough. But for the Grizzlies, it's not all doom and gloom, because Scottie Pippen Jr., who was in the G League last year, he showed himself. You know, they were playing without Ja Morant. They started with Scottie Pippen Jr. and Desmond Bane in the backcourt, and he put up a 30-piece for them boys. They were going out swinging. You know, they were not going out without a fight, at least.
He was saving them. He was flat out keeping them in the game, keeping them involved in a chance to win it. Like, he was spectacular tonight.
He did all he can. Former Defensive Player of the Year and max contract player Jaren Jackson, who for a lot of this season has been Memphis's best player. There were long stretches in the regular season where he was their best player, right? But now they fired Taylor Jenkins. They've got a new system of play, which I don't know suits his strengths the most. He was 3-for-12 from the field in a very disappointing performance. If you're the Memphis Grizzlies now, you've got Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane all on big money contracts. What's the direction of this team? Because number one, they can't seem to ever get healthy together. And number two, even if they are healthy, even if Ja Morant does play and he's not injured, I still don't think they win this game against OKC. And even if they do, they lose in five. What's the direction of this team moving forward? Do you think these guys have a core there that will ever be good enough to win a championship? Or do you think it's time to rethink things over there?
Yeah, break that thing up. Blow that thing up. Keep it moving. It was a good ride.
Yeah, I mean the NBA moves so quickly because just like 3 4 years ago, we're talking about do the Grizzlies have the best young core in the league? In a few years, they're going to be competing for championships, and yet here we are, and it just shows you how quickly the NBA can change because now we're talking about blowing up the team. But for the OKC Thunder, they did what they had to do, and I think for Shai as well, having a big time scoring performance like tonight, that was needed after the first few games. He kind of was struggling from the
Guaranteed,
field a little bit,
guaranteed.
but how much of a confidence booster is that moving forwards?
For the team, it's not for him personally. He needed that. He needed to go get his usual buckets. He needed to get to that free throw line. He needed tonight's game to make sure his team understands is like, no question mark. I'm all the way back, y'all. Next.
And it's tough Western Conference because they're going to be facing the winner of a series that's currently tied at 2 games apiece. The Denver Nuggets managed to reclaim home court advantage, win on the road in the craziest finish to a game since, for me, this is the craziest finish to a game since Kawhi Leonard's buzzer beater against the Philadelphia 76ers, where the
There you
ball bounced
go.
on the rim four
Good
times.
call. Good call.
This game was crazy because the Nuggets built up a big lead, and you're thinking, man, the Clippers might be cooked here. They went on like a 32-9 run to come back in the fourth quarter. They went
Unbelievable.
into that zone defense with Kawhi Leonard at the top of that zone, whether it's a 2-3 or a 1-1-3, and he was causing havoc. Bogdanovic was holding it down on defense as well. And they got back into the game. All the momentum in the world was with them. All the momentum in the world was with them. However, Nikola Jokic's Sombor shuffle step back three that looked like it was going way off was saved by Mr. Aaron Gordon with a putback dunk. And it's crazy, CT, because just yesterday, Aaron Gordon was saying he could barely jump off his calf. And today, he's jumping high enough in the dying embers of a game to put back an alley-oop. I don't know if it's a putback. I don't know if it's an alley-oop. I don't know what it was called.
That's Joker. That was a pass
That was
and
not pass.
adrenaline.
That was not a
That
pass.
was a. I just talked to him. He just said, "Oh no, dude."
What's a joke or AG?
No, that was a fluke of a play that, man, anything can happen. Block out. How about that?
Yeah,
Game
everyone
over.
get a body. The game's not over till the buzzer sounds. And there was a lot of debate whether that shot was before the buzzer, after the buzzer, did his hand leave the ball. I did see an angle that wasn't on the broadcast. For some reason, they didn't show it on the broadcast or the ref review, but it clearly showed that he got it off in time. So it was once again a larger than life performance from the Joker. 36, 21, and 8 boards to go along with 2 steals as well. All of the Nuggets starters scored in double figures. They need that because they don't really have anything coming off their bench. All of their stars played 42 plus minutes. If this series goes to 7 games, do you think that comes back to haunt them, or do you think we won't see the effects of that until later in the playoffs if they were to progress?
No, it hunts them. They're not that good a team because they're not deep. And Joker has to do extraordinary over and above his ordinary.
And
So,
he's coaching the team. Did you see him out there
oh
making
my goodness.
substitutions? He's telling the
Yes.
coach who to sub in and out of the game.
But they fired Malone, though.
Yeah,
Remember
I don't know why,
that
still.
recent history. Tough.
Maybe they thought Jokic is so good he can coach and play and win the game for us. Maybe that's what they were thinking. For the
Hey.
LA Clippers, it's tough because Chris Dunn is such a great defender. He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire NBA, but
Yes.
they just pay no attention to him on the other end of the basketball. They leave him wide open and they essentially play 5-on-4 with the other guys. Chris Dunn was 1 of 9 from the field, and it's great when he can knock down his shots, but they're leaving him open for a reason. And that reason
Yes.
showed tonight where he finished with just 3 points. Kawhi Leonard did his thing with 24. James Harden, quiet night for him, 15 points. Norman Powell kind of got it going a little bit. He had 22. Zubac, 19 and 12. But it was a heartbreaking loss for the Clippers. When you make your way back into that game, I was watching a game with some friends. I said, Big Mo has entered the building. They said, What do you mean? You're right here. I said, No, 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 no. The momentum is with them. Like down that
Yes.
stretch, every play was going for them. And even when Jokic took that shot, it looked like it was going way off. And I'm just like, we're going to
Yeah.
overtime. Are we
No,
going
it
to
was
go to?
way off. Yeah.
Man, a devastating loss if you're a Clippers fan. Because if you took that 3-1 lead there for a team who are also down Russell Westbrook, he didn't suit up, and he might not even suit up for the next game. And for the Nuggets to steal that home court advantage, now it's a best of three series. And if it goes to a game seven, they've got the advantage at home now. And that can be the difference maker in these playoffs. That one crucial play can now have a knock-on effect for the entire bracket. So shout out to Aaron Gordon because, you know, he's just a guy who shows up. He's a big-time
Yes,
player. I know
sir.
you spent a lot of time with him. Have you got any insights onto AG and his mindset and what he could do?
I just, he's a player that went from superstardom, being the man, the franchise,
In Orlando.
basically, and then coming to Denver and accepting the role, knowing his role, and he's excelling in a difficult role to be pretty much third. Is
Fourth, sometimes if
that's
Michael Porter
tough,
Jr.'s got it going.
right? I mean, that, you know, that's tough, and he's a professional, and he shows up and he does what he can, and he's all they need. I mean, they need some others to be consistent, at least show up, but he tonight is apropos. He's a difference maker.
Absolutely. I couldn't believe it. I sat there in disbelief for about 20 minutes after that game. Like, I couldn't
I
even pay
did
attention
too.
to the start of the Warriors game. I was like, this is insane what he managed to do.
Well, I had to. I was already standing up, and I had to sit down and stand back up. Like, what is going on? Stop it!
Man,
No, crazy,
absolutely
crazy.
crazy. These are the moments that the playoffs generate. You know, this is what it's all about. Like that kind of moment there is a historic moment that's going to live in
No, guaranteed,
the future of
guaranteed.
the NBA. They're going to show that play on highlights for generations now. So, you know, the Nuggets did have some very good stretches of play, but they did have a very bad collapse in the fourth quarter. If the Clippers want to take away any positives, they did find their way back into the game. They found a few things that did work. Some of the lineups, though, went down in that final possession. I don't know if I would have put out a more defensive lineup for that final possession than the one that they went with on the court. So,
Yeah, that was a little odd, truthfully. But hey,
I
they
mean,
live.
you want to roll
There's
with.
another game. I mean, that maybe they're playing not all their cards, you know.
Yeah, but now the Nuggets are going to be ready to attack that zone, and we're going to have to see what happens there. But then the final game of the night, the Slugfest, which is the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Back in the Bay Area, the Warriors take a 2-1 series lead, 104 to 93. Steph Curry was being guarded from the parking lot in this one. They were not trying to let him get going early, and he still managed to finish with 36. How about that? They were basically
Amazing.
in his jersey, and he still finished with 36 points. They didn't really get much else, but Buddy Hield came up big, hitting five threes off the bench in a game which was interesting because they changed their starting lineup. They put out Quinton Post, Draymond Green, Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Podziemski, and Steph Curry. Obviously, with no Jimmy Butler, this was a game that Houston had to win. But Steve Kerr mixed things up, put out the stretch five alongside Draymond and Kuminga, who aren't the best shooters in the world. And it paid dividends in the end. He went to his bench. Gary Payton gave him solid minutes. Moses Moody as well. Kevon Looney doing his thing on the glass. But it's a really frustrating watch with the Houston Rockets because they have so much talent and defensively, they're so good. Just their offensive half-court offense is just horrible to watch. Like they're the perfect example of a team that's just one piece away. Because Jalen Green in the last game has 38 points. Tonight he has 9. You can't win in
Yes.
the playoffs with this level of inconsistency. Fred VanVleet, your boy Steady Freddy, he finally got it going. He got 17 tonight. And I say he got it going because the first two games
It was
were
early.
pretty
It was
rough for
early
him.
for him.
Yeah.
No, he got going early, you know, kind of set the pace. But to your point, that's where it's like, okay, Steady Freddy is not supposed to be your leading scorer. He's supposed to set the table, and boys, get where's Şengün? Where's Jalen Green? Where's Brooks? You got to give a little bit something more. So they just struggle so much that it's like, okay, what's the fix for that? They need that piece or two.
Yeah, you look at some of the guys they've got, like a Cam Whitmore, for example, who's a young player, or Reed Sheppard, who didn't really play for them this season, even though he was a lottery pick in the draft. Those are guys that can score the basketball. They just don't
Yes.
have the necessary kind of experience that you want to put them in these big moments. But if you're watching a half-court offense that's so stale, it might be worth just giving one of those guys a shot to see, can you get a burst from anywhere on this roster? Because Şengün had only 15 tonight. You know, and your high scorer was Fred with 17. It was a real rough night on the offensive side. And then the foul trouble for Dylan Brooks kind of messes up his minutes. He ended up fouling out with a couple minutes to play. Amen Thompson is still, you know, how we were talking about Chris Dunn, the Warriors guard Amen Thompson in a similar way. They're not worried about him shooting the three ball at all. And he doesn't really
Guaranteed.
want to shoot the three ball at
Guaranteed.
all. He's going to take a couple dribbles, try to get to that free throw line or below, use his athleticism. But It's so frustrating because the Rockets have the pieces there defensively to wreak havoc on anyone. They need Jalen Green to be game two Jalen Green in every game. And I just don't know if he's built to do that in every game. You've got to do it 4 times out of 7. And so far, he's done it 1 time out of 3.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah, it's a struggle, and they got to look at them because they got some young, good, prospectively high caliber NBA player pieces. They might have to make some moves if they're trying to get to the promised land or closer to it.
Yeah, there's a few rumors of a Kevin Durant or a Devin Booker or someone of that stature, and we got to see how it goes. But it's going to be a good series. I think if they can claw back game four and we can stretch this out to 7 games, maybe the athleticism pays dividends in the long term. But CT, let's look ahead to tonight, a physical series that's going on in Detroit where the New York Knicks will be trying to take a 3-1 lead. Who are you rolling
Boy.
with for this one?
I'd love to see Detroit do some things because they're just fun. They play hard. They're young. It's the Cage story. It's just they're too young. They still don't know how to win. And that Brunson factor kicks in. That Brunson burner is real and he's unstoppable and undeniable.
Especially in the fourth.
And oh my goodness. And it's like, okay, what you gonna do when the takeover king is the takeover king?
Isaiah Stewart, I don't know if he's gonna be back. He's got a right knee injury. I think not having him, he's kind of your best defender on Karl-Anthony Towns, and not having him, especially like game two, they got away with it because the Knicks weren't looking for Cat. But in game three, they made a point of emphasis early to look for Karl-Anthony Towns. And I assume that they're going to do it again in game four, because if you can set the tone with your big man, whether that is down low, whether that's on the 3-point line, whatever, the Pistons are missing probably their best defensive big. Like, I like Jalen Duren, but Isaiah Stewart is at this point, even though he's only known for his fighting, he is an elite difference
But he
maker on
makes
the
a
defensive
difference.
end.
He makes a difference, and Derns is coming along pretty nicely, but he's not a big minutes type of productive player for what he offers. And to be missing Beef Stew is really hurting Derns.
Absolutely. It's weird though, because it's like the Pistons control the game for the first 3 quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, it all falls apart. When you're a young team, how long does it take to figure out something like that? They've added some veteran pieces in Hardaway and Beasley and Harris, but like, is this something they can figure out right now in the moment, or is this going to have to be something they figure out over the course of the summer after they're eliminated?
It's going to be that pain of getting eliminated and just seeing you had opportunities, you had chance. You're just up against boys that know how to win. So that's,
I
that's
think
the, go ahead.
I do think they can win being at home. I don't think they're trying to lose both at home. Like, obviously no one's trying to lose, but do you know what I mean? I just think they have
I
to
just.
play now with a sense of desperation. And you see like a sense of desperation, like what Memphis did tonight, even though they didn't come away with a win, it was a 2-point game. But when you're playing with that desperation and you're like, well, if we lose this at home, we're going to go back to the Garden and that's going to be the end of our season. I think the Pistons can find something extra in the tank, possibly, to propel them to a win. They've got to come out with that energy and that defensive pressure and set the tone from early, because the refs are letting them play. The refs are letting them play now. So you've got to capitalize on that. And I think they've really got to do a better job in game four, getting out and running on this Knicks team.
But I just think at the end of the day, the Pistons are physical. They're young physical. They know how to hit you. They don't know how to knock you out. The Knicks know how to knock you out, and they can take some hits, and they ain't afraid to fight. So, and then they got the X factor is Brunson. It's just like you can't let that dude do what he does, and it's undeniable. So if it's not going to be a blowout, they're in trouble. If it's close,
Absolutely.
they're in trouble. So that's just the bad part about Detroit. They just can't finish.
They've just got to set the tone from early. They've done it once. They've done it in Madison Square Garden, and now they've got to do it at home. But here's the interesting one. I think it's going to be like a midday or early afternoon tip-off for the Lakers in Minnesota. Only one game between. It's a quick turnaround for them after game three. Now going into game four, Timberwolves up 2-1, looking to take a 3-1 series lead. From a physical point of view, because I know you do a lot of work with your players on conditioning and stuff like that, and we know LeBron is in supreme condition like we've never seen from any athlete ever. However, this just one day off, and Luka was really struggling with an illness in the last game. How do you see the Lakers' chances in tying the series against the Timberwolves team, who seeming to gain confidence now, especially Julius Randle showing up big?
It's going to be tough for the Lakers because I think Minnesota finally let their scheme come to fruition. Attack Luka on defense. Attack Luka with ball in hand. Attack Austin Reeves. There's only so much that you can handle with that, despite LeBron being on the floor. It's like
Yeah,
they got a
if
good
you look
plan.
back at Jaden McDaniels, who scored 30 points, and a lot of the Lake fans were like, oh, he doesn't score like that. He only scores like that against us. Well, if you watch every single one, except for I think one or two of his 30 points,
Two of them, yes.
yeah, every single one was either Reeves or Luka guarding him on the perimeter, and he gets by them easily. Okay, that's cool. Because usually you have a center or a 7 footer in the paint to clean up. That's what the Timberwolves, that's why Rudy's out there for the Timberwolves. You can clear up anyone who got to be on the
Right.
perimeter. But the Lakers, they don't. They're relying on a Rui Hachimura or Dorian Finney-Smith to be their rim protector
Right.
in a series against a team who have great athletes out there on the court. That's really tough to overcome. How do you think about if I'm the Lakers, something that I want to try is I'm putting Luka on Rudy Gobert because I know Rudy ain't going to beat me off the dribble.
And that makes sense because Rudy's not
He
only
took
not going
zero
to beat you
shots in
off
the
the
last
dribble,
game.
but he's not offensive, even if he gets the ball at 2 inches from the rim. And Luka's not trying to play defense anyway, so that's the perfect fix.
That's what I'm trying to do. And then you just got to figure out where to hide Austin Reeves now. Maybe put him on Mike Conley, I guess, where he has
Yeah.
kind of a size advantage would be the best you can come up with.
That, but he still gets attacked, and the bad part, you have Luka at the rim for protection. So it's just, and it's like who you want on the perimeter because they're going to go at either one of them. But I'd rather have Luka at the rim, and just let them pass him into. They're not going to do it. Let them pass him into Rudy. If anything, foul
They ain't
him.
trying to do that because the amount of times I watch Tibble's games and he's open and they don't get him the ball. So I don't see that
Nah,
happening. I
no.
think maybe that's a move that they can try and adjust. But the team I want to talk to you about as a concerned Boston Celtics fan now, the Orlando Magic have the opportunity to tie the
Oh, wait.
series
Oh, what am I?
down there in
Damn.
Orlando. Oh, you even
Damn.
repping them right now. You even
Damn.
repping them right now.
Damn. It's the vibe, baby.
Yeah, well, the Magic, they're bringing a physicality. They're bringing everything I love to see. They're bringing defense, they're bringing hustle, they're bringing
Gotcha.
physicality. How do you see this game four going? Because I don't know if Jrue Holiday's going to return. Jaylen Brown's,
Yeah.
like, he was hobbling in on his intro to the arena. Jason Tatum still got that wrist injury. Can the Magic capitalize on that and tie up the series here?
If Jrue Holiday's still out, if Tatum's still gimpy, even though play, if Brown's still
Yeah,
gimpy,
Jrue
who else?
Holiday's ruled out for game four.
Magic got a chance. If all three of those can keep the Celtics at a disadvantage, just player personnel wise. The Magic are still in trouble. Franz finally hit some shots, some threes at that. Paolo and Franz did the combo thing to almost perfection, but they're not consistent enough with that is the problem. They don't shoot the three consistently is the problem. And then as good as they are defensively, if there's no answer for made shots, it's just Boston can hit shots, and it's just it comes down to D. White and everybody on the 3-point line, Horford, if they're hitting these threes or not. And they're going to take those threes. They're going to take a lot of them.
Well, the Magic do a better job than pretty much every team in the NBA at limiting
Yep.
3-point attempts. In fact,
Yep.
the Celtics are shooting significantly less 3-point attempts now than they were in the regular season. So the Magic defensive scheme is kind of the perfect one to
Yes.
counteract what the Celtics do. The only question is, and it's similar to the Rockets in a way, is can they get the necessary scoring to pull away in the game? And in game three, they did. Can they replicate that in game four is the question. Jaylen Brown, he had a great quote. He said, I dislocated my right index finger in the game, but I got nine more, so I'm all right. But he has come out after that and expressed like the physicality that the Magic are playing with. I think a lot of the Celtics aren't happy
It's
with that. And
getting to him.
this is
It's
why
getting
I
to him.
asked you, would you rather have a challenge or an easy first round? Because I think for a team like Boston, this is a great wake-up call for them to say, come on, guys, the regular season's over. It's all well and good running up and down and shooting 53s a night, but this is playoff basketball. And I think the Magic are the perfect team to really scare them into, all right, we really have to lock in. We've got to match the physicality. We've got to ramp up our defense. And offensively, if they're going to limit us on the 3-point line, we've got to find other ways to score the basketball.
And for the Celtics, it's an easier answer to want to struggle in the first round because they have a full-blown team and they have more than two superstars that they depend on. They're all right with going through a seven-game first-round series. Plus, last year they figured out better to win fast and early and easy and often, but it got boring to them. So they're warning the challenge, basically.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Who do you think is winning game number four?
Celtics.
Celtics,
Unfortunately, I'd love to
okay.
see it. My man G. God love me. G's making a difference. I gotta state that. He does what he does on the defensive side. He stabilizes the floor. But they need more defense on the perimeter for the Celtics perimeter game. So Celtics and they're back at home. It's gonna be tough for the
No,
Magic.
let's do it in Orlando for game four.
Oh,
Let's
you're
do it in
right. So,
Orlando.
well,
Let's do it in the
you know
O.
what? The Magic got a chance. It's just the Celtics, I think they're
I think the Magic take this. No Jrue Holiday. The Celtics are clearly like going to be complaining for calls from everything they've said in the interviews between the last game and now. You guys are too worried about the refs. That I'm not trying to hear talking about the Magic's physicality. I'm trying to hear we're going to go out and be more physical than them. I'm not trying to hear, oh man, the refs were letting them get away with a lot. I don't want to hear that in the playoffs.
Especially from defending champs. Like, come
Yeah,
on.
it's the reigning
But
Finals MVP.
it's real. Like, Porzingis for second time has shown blood.
Yeah, but he still ain't hit a three. I don't know if I've even seen him hit a three this
Oh, geez.
series. You know,
That
he's struggling
part.
with a shot. Sam Hauser's not able to get any buckets to go. Peyton Pritchard's not been able to do what he usually does. Al Horford has struggled. Like, it's real tough for the Celtics right now. But then a real
But I think they're
interesting one,
due. I think they're
I
due.
hope so. But a real interesting one is the Pacers and the Bucks, because the Bucks figured out something in game three. The
What?
Bucks, the Bucks, the
What?
Bucks figured out Gary Trent Jr. in the starting lineup seemed to work very well for them. It gave them, now I'm not saying he's going to come out and score what another 38 point performance.
Correct.
However, it did disrupt what the Pacers had going. We talked to me and BJ yesterday talked about, you know, the changing the matchup, so less minutes for Brook Lopez against such a fast-paced Pacers team, and it worked
Big
for
difference.
Milwaukee. But how do you see this one going? Because the Bucks can tie the series here.
I think the Pacers get bored. I think the Pacers do like to play with their food. And I think the Bucks have shown themselves all season. Like I told you before, I gave up on them at All-Star because they just lose focus in game to the extent where Giannis seems literally to be the only one trying. And it just gets tough to watch. Last game, it kind of was a must-win for them. They showed up, but they changed up things to show up. I don't know if that works with the adjustments the Pacers need to make is, okay, higher pace.
I'm just gonna turn up the heat just a little bit, see how they adjust to that. And you know, 9 of 12 from three from Gary Trent. I don't know if he can replicate that. If he can, great times for Milwaukee. But if he can't, then this is going to be a real
It gets
tough one for them.
interesting.
I'm expecting the Pacers to take this one on the road, but it's the NBA playoffs. You never know. CT, appreciate you rocking with us. I appreciate you taking
Man,
the time out
appreciate you,
there.
Mo.
Hey,
Appreciate
man,
you.
every time we're here, every day. Did you see the boxing today? There's one for you. Chris
Oh,
Eubank and Conor Benn, biggest fight in British
no.
boxing. It was an amazing, amazing fight.
Oh, I need to look this up.
Thankfully, it happened at the same time as OKC Memphis, so I didn't have to worry about that game
Okay.
too much,
There you
right?
go.
It
Good
was
timing.
a
He
12
knew.
round slugfest, and I thought,
Oh.
man, I hope that the Rockets and the Pistons are watching this.
Oh, yeah, well. I don't
It
think
was
boys are
good.
trying to come out of their pocket. It's a whole bunch of hold me backs lately.
Oh, that's what we saw in the Clippers game, right? And Michael Porter Jr. looking back at the tape, he came off the bench during that little skirmish, so he could technically,
Yeah.
according to the rule book, be suspended for game number five.
True.
But
True. Which might not be a big difference for the Nuggets. It just depends on
they need healthy bodies, man. They're already without Russ. They need healthy bodies out there.
True, true. But it's on Jokic. It's on Kawhi. I feel these the round out this series, it's the stars either make the difference or not.
That's what the
Everybody
playoffs are
else,
for.
yeah. So we're here for it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with more from the Hoop Genius podcast. So subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, CT. Appreciate you as always. Enjoy your time out there
Man.
in the Hamptons, living life large. Still making time for the pod. We
Nah.
appreciate you, sir.
Take care of business, brother.
And I want to say I received a message after our last episode. I
Okay.
received a message after our last episode, and
I promise.
it said that was one of our best episodes ever of the podcast.
Yeah,
So credit to
right.
you, sir. Credit to
Hey,
you.
credit to you.
All
You
right.
the man. I just know
No,
how to play my.
I'm just the
I
point
know how
guard
to
out
play
here.
my
I'm just
role.
throwing these dimes. You know, my shooters come with me. You
You
know
know,
what I'm
and
saying?
let me say, because I'm not good at taking. I receive that. I receive that, but it's not like we're actually, analyzing and for this is what you do. This is what I do. I'm talking to my guy. We just
Cool,
happen to
man.
be
This
going through topic, but
is what
you're
we do when the
in.
cameras aren't on anyway.
Correct, correct. You just like, oh,
There
you press record. We're done with it. Oh, well, all right. So,
you go.
how's the family? How's it, bro? This is easy, but so I like to hear that because you got a good thing going. I told you from jump.
Appreciate you. From day
We're
one.
here.
From day
Yeah,
one. From
from
day
day
one.
one.
All right. Well, that's another episode. It's now 5:20 in the morning. Let me go get some rest. CT, I'll catch up with you very soon, my brother.
Catch
You
some
guys,
Zeus.
I'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, get buckets.